It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
We're not the new Detroit, are we, Phil?
No, we certainly am not.
What actually happened to Detroit, in a nutshell?
I think it was a city that was based on an industry that passed its peak and went into the decline, and it was so reliant, I think, motor vehicles, wasn't it? It was a car-building town. When that diminished and... That gutted the town, and you had huge areas of the town. Once people start moving out of a town, property values fall. It develops a snowball effect, and it keeps going. Not us. We're growing. We're doing the opposite.
But Phil, no one can afford to live here.
Yeah, that wasn't Detroit's problem. The problem with Detroit was actually properties were dirt cheap in Detroit by the time people started moving out, and that just increased the momentum of the downturn in the city. But we do need to deal with the property costs, and that's something that the incoming government, whoever that might be, really has to start to tackle.
We've got 65% of Auckland schools have vacancies for teachers at the moment.
Yeah, I think there's a...
Whoa, that's 65%. Yeah. More than half of the schools are looking for teachers, which means that there's kids that aren't being attended to.
Yeah, the principals group came in and talked to me a couple of weeks ago, and I've got them coming in to talk to council governing body tomorrow on that. It is a concern. It's a dual concern. It's not simply the affordability of houses, but it's also the rapid growth. You grow your town by 50,000 people, then you need a whole lot more classrooms. You need a whole lot more teachers to fill those classrooms. And at the same time, that growth is putting pressure on property prices. You get the perfect storm. So
it puts a pressure on all the teachers that are covering for the teachers that aren't there as well.
Yeah, and you know, we know that the teacher is the critical person that makes education a success or otherwise. It's the quality of your teaching. You can't afford to have classrooms where the teachers are changing because you've just got a series of temporary teachers in. You've got to have the best teachers, and you've got to have a stability in the classroom, and we've got to aim towards that. That raises, I think, the wider question that, you know, again, ought to be a discussion between central government and local government, but isn't at the moment. How quickly should we be growing? We grew by a net 36,000 additional new migrants into the city last year. Some bloody good people, you know, very skilled, very talented, very energetic. But we've still got to determine, if you want to grow by that, you've got to put the money in for the infrastructure. If you don't want to put the money in for the infrastructure, then you've got to slow the rate of growth. But you can't say we'll keep growing, but we're not going to cater. And we're talking here with teachers about social infrastructure as well as physical infrastructure. Both have got to be in place, and that needs to be more of a discussion, and a discussion that I need to have with the incoming government.
I guess, and you know, the word housing and homelessness got chucked around a lot in the final days of the election, and rightfully so. But it's not just the migrants that are coming in looking for work and housing. It's the people that live here already whose wages haven't gone up for 30 years, whose rent keeps going up, and the quality of the homes that they're renting keeps going down, and they're the ones who are going to be start filtering out if things go much more wrong.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And as long as you've got demand that far exceeds the supply of your housing, whether for rental or for ownership, that pushes the price up. And in the case of rental, it makes people desperate, and it allows the quality of that housing to decline. I mean, I'm one that's supported a concept of having a warrant of fitness for houses. We can't afford to have housing that gives us a high rate of third world diseases, because people are living in cold, damp, unhealthy homes. It's totally counterproductive. It damages kids' education. It damages mum and dad's ability to be healthy and to get to work rather than being ill. You know, if you don't have stability in housing, it damages the ability of the kids to have a stable education, because if you're in and out of, you know, two or three different schools in a year, of course that's going to damage. It's going to damage your ability to form bonding with your peer group. It's it's going to cause disruption in your education. All of those things are bad, and housing is often at the very heart of that. So that's why housing is so important. We heard a lot about it during the campaign. Now we need a government that walks the talk after the election.
We don't know which way that's going to go yet at the moment, do we? So if it goes one way, it'll pretty much, as they keep saying, stick with the status quo.
Well, my view is that whoever's in government, we've got to keep doing better than the status quo, because where the status quo isn't delivering, it's not good enough.
Yep.
And I don't determine, the public determines who's going to be government of the day. My professional responsibility is to work with the government of the day, and I will do that. But I will be emphasising the point that
things need to change.
Yeah. I don't know. Winston Peters has been put in a position of extraordinary influence.
You and I haven't talked about the New Zealand First policies apart from shifting the port. Is there anything that worries you about Winston Peters and the New Zealand First Party being in the position they're in Parliament, in whichever scenario that you're worried about, or some things that you are really impressed with?
Well, I'll generalise it rather than making it specific about New Zealand First, and that is to say that whoever comes into government, and they've made promises during an election campaign, in the end you've got to have evidence-driven policies. You can't say, well, actually I campaigned on that, but actually the evidence shows it's twice as expensive as an alternative way of doing it, but we'll keep with it because that's what we said we're going to do. Now, ideally, political parties would do their homework first and then develop their policies, but that doesn't always happen in the space of an election campaign. But at the end of the day, every policy of whatever party comes into government has got to be tested against the reality. Is this the best thing to do? Is this what the evidence supports? If not, the parties have got to be flexible about saying, well, you know, this is what we're trying to do. We still want to do that, but there is a better way of doing it. So I hope that there's some flexibility around that. Otherwise, we're doomed if we adopt policies that aren't the best way of using scarce resources to solve our problems.
You're saying that the new government's got to invest more taxpayer money in modern trams to the airport. Trams, that's light rail, that counts as light rail, doesn't it? Trams?
Yeah. Yep. Look, if you're against it, you call it trams because it creates the image of the 1950s. Before it, you call it light rail because that...
You've called it modern trams.
I've called it light rail. Okay. That's exactly what it is. It runs on rail, but it runs on the road. That means you don't have to demolish huge swathes of houses to create a new new route.
And that's Auckland's very hilly, though.
These things are... we're talking about putting light rail, first of all, out through the Auckland Isthmus, where trams were running in the 1920s. So the technology's got a whole lot better. They're a lot more effective and efficient. And most modern cities in the world have either an underground, or if they don't have an underground, they have a light rail system, because that's the effective and efficient way of moving a large number of people quickly around a city. I went up to the Gold Coast and had a look at they've just finished the first stage of that. They're getting 98-99% public satisfaction rates with it. They're carrying
public satisfaction rates.
Yeah, they're getting huge numbers of people commuting on it, and we are too on public transport. A couple of weeks ago we marked the 20 millionth passenger on heavy rail in Auckland, and that's up from 3.5 million probably 12-14 years ago. So we're making bloody good progress. But we're not making sufficiently good progress to deal with the growth that we've got in the city. And nobody believes today that, the way you solve every problem is by building more motorways. I was praising of the Waterview Tunnel, and it's good, but I can guarantee, I checked the figures the other day, 799 extra cars a week on the roads in Auckland. that I've been using the term 800. I think you can give me that.
Round it, Swedish round it, Swedish round it,
round it off. Of course, we've got to have solutions to these problems, because if we want growth, and we do want growth, we don't want to be a Detroit, but we've got to make sure that we can cater for that growth in a way that doesn't diminish the quality of our life and doesn't make doing business in the city harder. Because there's an economic cost if you've got congestion, and there's an economic cost if you've got unaffordability of housing, as well as the obvious social and human costs.
Hey, I wanted to ask you before you go, Phil, what about Mr. Mayor, your worship?
Whatever.
I was going to be casual there, calling you Phil today, sorry.
No problem.
So there's an ad out with John Kirwan, and he's up on top of Mount Eden, and it sort of says, Auckland, the weekend.
Yeah.
What's that? What's the angle there? Why that particular push? Why that particular angle for marketing Auckland as a go-to? Is that absolutely positively Wellington sort of?
Yeah. John Kirwan and Rachel Hunter have both been taken on by the Auckland Tourism Events and Economic Development Organisation as ambassadors for Auckland. They're both well-known figures. Now, you better explain that cough.
I've been living here for years.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I haven't seen the ads myself, and I haven't been involved in
the
production.
What's the campaign though? It's Auckland.
It's promoting Auckland to the world, basically. You know,
but it's sort of like look for the, it's a weekend thing, isn't it? Auckland. Spend your weekend in Auckland, isn't it? Hours or something.
That will be. I think that's promoting events, tourism, what's happening around the city, promoting Auckland to the rest of the country. You know, there's a whole lot of things going on in the city that are pretty exciting.
Did the biggest little city in the world not run?
Didn't appeal to me. mine's more straightforward. I want Auckland to be a world class city where you attract people with real talent to come here to live, because to me Auckland is the city that can compete globally with about 400 other cities of the same sort of character as Auckland around the world. We all want the most capable people that are to come here as migrants. You know, we all want high tech industry and investment. We want quality investment from overseas, and to avoid going back to your first point, to avoid being a Detroit, we've got to keep moving. We've got to adapt. We can't be a dinosaur town. We've got to
be a party town.
Party town, part of it, and that's what I like about Auckland. You know, there's lots of things to do. If I was living, I better not say another example, had I? If I was living in a small town somewhere, I might get a bit frustrated that I don't have the same choice and opportunity that Auckland is now able to offer its people. You know, we want to create great places within the city. We want to create great events, things that are good to go to see. You know, when I went to, I'll use an example, when I went to see Adele earlier in the year, and she called
same
out,
bro,
you know,
same.
All the people that were here from Christchurch, and a whole lot of people cheered, and you know, Wellington, and I suddenly realised most of the people sitting in that stadium weren't Aucklanders. They were people that had come to our city, spending their money in our city because they wanted to go to this concert, and I thought, that's good.
Wonderful stuff. All right. Hey, thank you, Phil. Stay there online. I just want to ask you something, but I'll ask you off air.
Okay, mate.
If that's all right.
Yeah,
and thank you very much for talking to us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.